Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you once you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes, it's that time.
Every day.
Yep, every day.
Podcast One and Apple.
It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Tupelo, Mississippi. A 30-year-old woman was arrested for attempting to smuggle meth into her boyfriend while he was in county jail. She attempted smuggling the drugs in the back cover of the Bible. Definitely not a Jew.
Julia Sharp is in studio, So You're Going Bald, name of the book. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, and you can bookmark us and click through. It just helps, and it's out on April 2nd, and he's a producer, and he's a writer, and Family Guy, and he's been to the Seth MacFarlane Christmas parties. Good to see you, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
So you got in by emailing jokes to Craig Kilborn's show.
That's right. You mean into Hollywood?
Into Hollywood.
Yes. Sorry. My glorious entree into Hollywood was I was working downtown. I was doing IT, and I was horrible at it. Like, for law firms, I would just basically tell people with computer problems, "Have you restarted it?"
Right.
And 99% of the time that would work, and then the other 1%, I had no idea what to do. So then 9/11 happened, and I was near there, and my friend Alex Sulkin, who's now the executive producer of Family Guy, he was at the time working for Kilborn, and he knew I was having kind of a hard time. And so he said, "If you email jokes in, we accept outside submissions, and we'll give you $75 a joke." So I just started waking up at 6 in the morning and writing 30 jokes and emailing them in. Then I'd have to wait up till 12:30 and watch to see if he used them to bill him $75.
Oh, you're in charge of your own accounting?
Well,
they wouldn't honor it.
You got to keep them honest. Yeah. You know,
I'm putting this out there so everyone understands it. Like, breaking into show business or breaking into any industry or whatever it is, whether you're Kilborn or you're whomever, Seth MacFarlane, I've been on the other side of this where we want the best jokes all the time. Like, there's a lot of like, "Oh, it's who you know, and your dad's a producer." Like, but the guys out there telling the jokes or executing the jokes, we want the best stuff. And we're not really interested where you come from or what your education level is. If the jokes are good and they get to you, the people who are telling the jokes will go seek those people out and go, "We got to get this person in." You are a real commodity if you are writing jokes that are being used, that are making the cut.
Well, what happened unbeknownst to me was, you know, they had a staff of writers there, and there were a bunch of times Craig said, "I really like this joke. Who wrote it?" And they were like, "This guy who emails in from New York." And then, because he loved to tweak people, he was like, "Well, maybe we should just get him to write for the show. He obviously understands it more than anyone here." And so eventually an opening came up and they invited me out. I had never been to Los Angeles. I had to have a meeting with David Letterman's attorney because no one knew who I was. And the point of this meeting was to make sure I wasn't insane. So, you know, nothing is harder than to appear sane entering a room when someone just says, "All you have to do is not be insane." And so I just was like sweating and like twitching because I knew this was a sanity check. And I'm like, I don't know what sanity is to this man. I know what it is to me. And
how was Kilborn?
I love Craig. I mean, we still get together. I saw him like a month ago and have dinner. He's one of the most naturally funny people in the world.
And, oh, really? I thought everyone thought he was horrible.
I mean,
Oh, that's
people.
Well, there's a Craig Ferguson and a Craig Kilmer.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson hates me, probably with good reason. It's probably justified.
Why does he hate you?
Well, I was like a Kilborn loyalist.
Well, the rap on Kilborn is he was just a douche.
Yeah.
That was always the rap on him. And he, I used to do a show all the time. I don't know if you were there when I was doing it.
I was
all
there
the time.
When you had your guest week.
Yeah, so before that, I used to just be a guest.
Yeah.
And the way stuff used to work back then, and it still kind of works this way, but Kilborn was at what, CBS?
That's right.
And I think Politically Incorrect was like filmed there too, or down a floor or something
like
that.
The HBO, it wasn't for ABC, at least when I was there. He was doing the HBO.
Oh, well, the ABC version was there. Mm. And so here's how it works. It's a super simple equation. You're a guest and you're funny, meaning me, and you show up and you kind of put out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, hey, not everything's their nines and tens, but you dance and you put out. And they kind of know, all right, this is a baseline of a decent guest on this show. And then there's a combo of I live in the Hollywood Hills and I work in Culver City and I will be driving past CBS if I need to at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night. And then you get on this super short list of people when the other guest drops out.
Yes.
You get the call at noon. Hey, man, can you come by today? And you end up doing PI 21 times because not because you're booked, but because people drop out and you're on the short list of that guy shows up and dances. Right.
Yeah. Is available.
So I did. I would do Kilborn a lot. I remember. Here's an interesting one. Remember Rebecca Gayheart.
Sure. The Noxzema girls. Think about her yesterday.
The Noxzema
girl.
The
day before. And the day before.
Yeah. Also, one of the worst taste jokes ever. Shares the same nickname as Manny Pacquiao. Mm. And, you guys can look that one up. You know Manny Pacquiao's nickname?
I do.
What is it?
It's the Mexicutioner.
The Mexicutioner. Oh, yes. Wow. She also has that nickname as well, but it's a vehicular version of it. All right. The point is this. Ran over Mexican kid. Anyway, she was booked on the show when I was booked on the show, and I was booked on the show as the lead slot, and she was the second guest because I had two shows on TV, and she had a Noxzema commercial on TV. And at some point, they called me, and they're like, the Kilborn guys called, and they went, Rebecca's got to go first. And I was like, really? Is that what you guys want? And they're like, she just has to go first. And then that's when I really learned to hate publicists. They were like, the publicists. And I'm like, of course, because the same publicist handles Tom Cruise, and you're not getting Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks or anybody else. If you don't take Rebecca Gayheart first, then you don't get, we won't bring you. By the way, they never bring you that person. They threaten they're going to hold back from you. That person never does make your show. But if they represent that person, then they get to shuffle the order.
I mean, I'm trying to be Rebecca Gayheart in this scenario. Like, I'm hoping I'm the guest that you have to absorb to get that person.
Yes. Who did you bring with you today?
You mean publicity-wise or celebrity-wise?
Better than you, celebrity-wise.
Oh,
so,
God.
And I don't know where Rebecca Gayheart's up to these days.
I just looked it up because I thought the exact same thing. She is apparently going to be in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
The Quentin Tarantino movie.
Wow.
Well, I can't imagine it's a huge part.
That's a first guest.
Yes.
Now it's a first guest.
That is now, yeah. So
it's her third movie since 2007.
So let's talk about now, what are we missing about Craig? Like, first off, he stopped just because he stopped? Like, he got burnt out or he wanted to...
Yeah, I mean, I think his contract was up every year, it seemed. And every year he seemed to go through, like, a bit of an identity crisis of if he wanted to do it anymore. And I think he just... You know, how many times can you interview Roma Downey, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I mean, and so he's happy. And he's been, like... You know, people get whatever reputation they get, but he's been great to me, and I personally get along with him, so I'm not unaware of, like, the dialogue that surrounds him, and you can speak to other people, but I just haven't experienced it. Like, personally.
I've had to say that about Kimmel a thousand times. Everyone thinks he's a douche. No, I have had that. I think we've all have a version of that where you just have to say to people, he's nice to me. Like, I get along well with that person. And everyone goes, you got to understand what a douche that. And I go, we get along.
He's hilarious to me. We have a great time together. You know, he's a buddy.
Wow. I did not know. I did not know that was possible.
Yeah.
And is he working, or is he like self-imposed retirement, or does he?
Yeah, he's sort of happily retired. He has a very funny Instagram account where he just poses with martinis every couple days and talks about how happy he is, and he's wearing like a blazer and sitting beneath a painting. And he just does that, I think, and enjoys looking at flowers and stuff.
So he got your emails once the trend started that they were using you. He said, I should just hire this guy, and there you were.
Well, he didn't. I mean, I didn't email him directly. I'd email some producer, but he just got the sense that this guy is emailing in and having a lot of success. And then my friend Alec, who was working there, vouched for me. He said, he's actually good. And I was doing stand up at the time. I'd been doing stand up maybe 7 years and made a total of like $11,000. I mean, I was really sort of suffering.
How did you get to the Family Guy?
So I was out at the Brass Monkey, which is the karaoke bar. Mm-hmm. And again,
K-Town.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My buddy Alec was there. And this was before Seth was really a celebrity. He was just a guy who made this cartoon, and I don't think there was as much awareness of who he is. So they were there that night, and Alex said to me, Seth has to host some Canadian Video Game Awards ceremony in like a week. He needs some jokes. No one at Family Guy wants to write these jokes. Can you meet me at his house tomorrow morning and do it? And at the time, I was single, and I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'll go up there and write some jokes. And then that day, for some reason, I was funnier than I'd ever been before or since. Like, I was just on friggin' fire. And so he had this disproportionately positive impression of me that I'm still, you know, scared that he's going to reconcile who I am with, like, who he thinks I was from one day in, you know, 2007.
It is funny when jokes become a job.
That
should be the name of your next book. Because it's so funny because Kimmel would do the same thing. Like, Kimmel's going to host the Blockbuster Awards, and he needs some monologue jokes. And the writers would be like, oh, come on. We're not paid.
Write jokes down.
Yeah. It's like, I love how we can turn anything into work and anything into drudgery. And writers can complain about anything. They're essentially professional complainers. And it's always like, we get paid to write jokes that don't make it on the air and then eat for free, not to write for the Blockbuster Awards.
If someone likes writing, they probably suck at it. Because, you know, the people who complain to me, it's like...
It's a good point, yeah. But like, the moral of the story is when not tremendously famous Seth MacFarlane says, hey man, could you write a few jokes for me, sometimes for free, for this show I'm doing in Canada, do it. You'll get on his good side. And it may pay off later on in life.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to break into anything, do anything and everything.
Do you go, or did you go to work at the place we all know is Family Guy sort of headquarters? Or was that when they were on Laurel Canyon?
No. Basically, that wasn't even how I got into Family Guy. What ended up happening was, so I was funny that day, and then the writer's strike happened, so there was this lull, and then they were doing the Cleveland show. Mm-hmm. And so I had written, basically, everyone who knows me calls me Goldie. Julius Sharp is not my real name. I'm not trying to hide that I'm Jewish or whatever, but it's a longer story. Anyway, so he had read this script and liked it, and then he had wanted to hire me. So the Cleveland show's coming on, and he told my friend Alec, he's like, there are two people I want to hire. One is your friend Goldie, who came up to my house that day and was great. And I read this script by this guy, Julius Sharp, who I want to hire. And then my friend had to go, like, I'm about to blow your mind. Goldie is Julius Sharp. And
wow.
So then he gave me the choice. He said, you know, you can either come to Family Guy or the Cleveland
show. She got paid twice.
Yeah. I know. No, I've blown everything my entire life. He said, you can come to, well, here's, and you're about to see. He's like, you can come to the Family Guy or Cleveland show. I said, I'll go to the Cleveland show.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's new, and we're going to build something there. And it's like, being on Family Guy is like being a Supreme Court justice. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and also, the shows, for right or for wrong, you know how many guys, like, we used to hire guys like, oh, that guy was with Letterman all those years back or whatever. And it's like, yeah, he wasn't funny. Letterman was funny. Like, he was there.
Yeah.
Like, and then people got jobs, like, off of The Man Show. And I would have told people, like, that guy's not funny. He was just with The Man Show. Like, Jimmy was funny.
Right.
That guy was all right. But you get associated with the Family Guy. The sort of Mount Rushmore's like Simpsons, Letterman, like there's a whole generation. It's like, I worked for the Simpsons. He worked with the Letterman, mm-hmm. and then he went to the mm-hmm. Simpsons. You're like, hire that guy. And then you hire that guy, and you're like, why is this guy funny?
Yeah.
Like, because he wasn't one of the – everything is three or four guys or two guys or one guy. And then the rest kind of Legos. Like, they would work over here or they'd work over there.
Well, people don't know what makes something work.
Right.
So they just assume if I take this parts bin and dump it out, you know, I can get it to make a transistor radio too. And it's like, maybe, maybe not.
It's a little, the sports analogy was, oh, this guy was on three Super Bowl teams for New England Patriots. Like, yeah, but if he didn't play or he didn't really, he just played special teams, didn't really contribute, like, how badly do the Browns need that guy? So, but that the Hollywood version is he was on that team. Let's get him.
Yeah. And very often it's like the team was in place. Certainly when I went to Family Guy, like there were incredible writers there. And, you know, I think I did well, but they are obviously surviving without me as well. So
the book is So You're Going Bald, and it's available as we not as we speak. We can pre-order it as we speak, and it'll be out on the 2nd. We got the news queued up. I'll tell you first about Simply Safe. Studies show security systems deter burglars, but there's still a burglary every 8 seconds. Burglars don't give up because some houses have security systems. They find the ones that aren't protected, and they focus on them. Simply Safe with two eyes. They believe fear has no place at home. Ridiculously smart. It's sensors protect every point, access point in your home with an ear-shattering siren if there's someone trying to break in. 24/7 monitoring, just $14.99 a month. No long-term lock-in contracts. Go with the best. Go with the one I trust, the one we all use here, Simply Safe. Visit simplysafeadam.com today. Peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. The batteries last up to 10 years, no wires, no muss, no fuss. SimplySafeAdam.com. All right, take a quick break. We'll come back, do the news with Julius right after this.
The Booze and Book Club is hitting the road. Saturday, March 30th in San Diego. Join me, Mike Dawson, as I read a chapter from Richard Stanley's Up on Game. Having a cell phone was only a contraband write-up in prison at the time. If you were found in possession of a cell, it was 30 days added to your sentence that you could in turn get back if you were disciplinary free for 90 days and a short stay in the hole, usually 2 weeks to a month. Shit, I could do that. Richard robbed 13 banks in San Diego, did 8 years in prison for it, and now has turned his life around. Join us Saturday, March 30th at 2 p.m. at Thorn Brewing in Barrio Logan. Enjoy the Corolla Drinks Mangria signature cocktail, the Lederhosen, and hang out with Richard the Skinny Bandit Stanley. This event is free, but please register at boozeandbookclub.com.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, here's an important PSA to all the deadbeat dads out there. Apparently, there's not a statute of limitations on child support, and one California woman can prove it. Her name's Toni Anderson. She's in Carlsbad, California. She was awarded child support from her ex-husband nearly 50 years after he left her with a young daughter. Daughter was about 3 years old. So Toni Anderson says her ex-husband chose to go to Canada rather than pay court-ordered child support in the early 70s. So with accrued interest of 10% a year, that would have been a total payment of about 30 grand, which is now about 170 grand.
In the early 70s, so many of those snatch dodgers went out to Canada.
Is that what they were called?
Snatch dodgers?
Snatch dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, colloquially.
They
Got
went
it.
There to Canada.
Yeah.
Where they weren't going to be prosecuted. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, along with getting what she's due, Anderson wants to spread the word to other single parents in California. You can still collect. And to those who skipped out.
Yep. Let me say this. I have said this before, but we judge smokers, people who smoke cigarettes, much more harshly than we judge deadbeat dads. Shouldn't we up it a little bit, the judgment of, I've sired a child, I shall not pay for that child. First off, that does kind of make it all our responsibility. That's going on, it's a burden to the taxpayers. And all the things we talk about, you know, the prisons and the schools that aren't working and latchkey kids and violence and gang memberships of it, it all kind of lead down that road. Like, shouldn't we be judging?
Yeah, at least the same.
I've had a kid and I've decided not to have any part of that child's life emotionally or financially.
Yeah.
Would you do a little more judging?
Be great.
I was talking to somebody, I was talking to Mike August yesterday, and he goes, I was driving here and I saw a guy roll down his window and he threw a disposable lighter out the window. And we're both disgusted. I said, God damn, why would you do that? You know, it's a Bic lighter and you toss it out the window. And I was like, just throw it on the floor or whatever. Throw it away when you get home or recycle it or whatever. We're both really disgusted. But I would argue we were way more disgusted than a dad that didn't pay for his kid.
Huh.
Yeah.
We need to ratchet it up. Like, what do we do with littering? You know, like as a society,
we crucify.
See someone do that with anything with pets. Anything like we walk by a car and there's a pet in the car and it's like, oh my God, it's 77 degrees outside. What kind of maniac? So if they're pet in the car, like we go nuts. But if you don't want to pay for your kid,
that's up to you.
That'd be a.
But if I think everyone's like 99% where you are, and then 1% like good for him.
Well,
I'm
not
just saying more judging would be nice.
It would be, and not super good for him because, according to her lawyer, this case has been settled for $150,000.
Wow!
So hope he can cobble that together up north.
And those guys always it's insane when you have kids to think about not having any relationship with your kid,
starting your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially when you get that second family cooking
and the kid
finds out about it,
how
worthless they feel.
Good.
Yeah, that's great.
The guys are bad people and women who do that are insane. That goes against every fiber of your being. So the guys who do it are just bad. And the women who do it, there's something wrong with them. Otherwise, you couldn't get there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling better about myself.
Are you?
I stuck around.
You have kids? You stick
around? I have two kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm supporting them.
You're living in the same house as they are?
Oh, my God. Am I ever?
Yeah.
Small house?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's brutal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love them.
Well, here's another good dad. NBCLA reports that hip-hop mogul Dr. Dre took to Instagram to celebrate his 18-year-old daughter getting into USC while poking fun at the parents who got caught up in the bribery scandal. His Instagram post said, "My daughter got accepted into USC all on her own. No jail time." But the post was slammed because a lot of people pointed out that, along with Jimmy Iovine, he gave $70 million to USC in 2013 to establish the USC Jimmy Iovine and Andre Young Academy for Arts, Technology, and the Business of Innovation. So he took the post down.
Sure.
Well, we were always saying, like, well, this is the way they would formally do it. Now they're just,
who's shocked by that?
Yeah.
They're just cutting out the middleman. Like, we don't have to buy a library. We'll just give it to this guy.
Would anyone begrudge Dr. Dre's daughter for getting in on the back of a $70 million donation?
Not at all, but he was probably right to not rub it in.
She's attractive, but
her name is True.
Sort of looks like has a sex robot look, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
I want to
do 18.
Well, then that joke's illegal.
I want to do a movie where all the kids who got in under these false pretenses then have to do the thing that they got in for, you know,
like coxswain.
Yeah, like they have to actually join the rowing team and make it.
That's good.
I always had this like hidden camera show that never got off the ground, but I always thought it'd be funny. It would be like when you're casting actors and actresses, you turn the headshot over and it always says English and Cockney, like British accents, you know, horseback riding, Western,
falconry.
English, falconry, swordplay, whatever. And it's always embellished and it's always a line. It's always whatever. And I always saw this great, like, hidden camera reality show where you would, first off, you plant the person in the waiting room. Like the person sits next to them and they go, honey, what part are you trying out for? And then you find out what their weakest, biggest BS thing on that resume is. Like, I don't know. I've never picked up a sword in my life, but it says swordsman or professional sword, whatever. And you go, okay. And then when the person comes in, they go, you're perfect. The read was great. This is a story about a swordsman. And the person goes,
perfect.
Yep, that's good. And we're so glad that you had all this training because we're going right into production. And
it's just
everything. And then you go, we have swords here. And they go, well, you know, my shoulder's a little stiff from all the sword practice earlier this week. You know, every single person is every single the weakest thing in whatever it is, we're doing it.
Yeah, it's called Special Skills.
Skills is
just
the name of that show.
That's good.
When we did the man show, we did like Juggy Audition.
I remember this.
And at one point, we were like Scottish accent.
It was Irish.
Oh, it was
Irish. I remember this episode well. It was one of my favorite episodes. And all she get out was, oh, O'Malley. That's all she could manage in her Irish accent.
It was, I don't know. I don't remember anything except for O'Malley.
That's all she could get out.
That's all she could get out.
That's all she could muster.
That's good.
We'll see if we can find that. Sorry.
Well, NBA Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal will join Papa John's board of directors. O'Neal will also invest in 9 Papa John's stores in Atlanta and become an ambassador for the brand.
He's the token black guy.
The company will pay
him. Terrible.
Oh, man. I'd love to do a white version of that. Like, what's happening? Oh, a lot of controversy around FUBU.
What's the latest?
We need a white guy to kind of come in and just, you know, take a few, just kind of put his name on a couple sweaters, you know, just kind of get things squared away.
Get the heat off our back.
And then I just show up and be like, wait, I'm white. What are we doing? We got some issues and we just kind of need a white guy that people like. And then I'd come in and then I'd just get paid and leave.
That's good.
It's good.
That's
right?
What Shaq's doing. He's going to get $8.25 million over 3 years. And according to CNN, he has experience in the food business. He owns a Krispy Kreme franchise in Atlanta, a Big Chicken fast casual place in Vegas, Shaq's new restaurant in L.A. Papa John's could use O'Neal's popularity, by the way, as well as his business acumen. Their sales have been declining 5 straight quarters.
Is Shaquille O'Neal popular? Like, he's ubiquitous, but do people like him? Like, I know who he is. He's fine.
Yeah. I think there's an obsession with giant people who aren't trying to eat us. So we just kind of go, well, look at that guy. Oh, he likes kids. Screws around with kids.
He's jolly.
You know, like, there's something that we love about that.
Affable.
But I agree. I don't know if between food or tax preparation or anything, like, do we look at Shaq and go, oh, yeah.
Car insurance.
He's got it all together.
Right.
I got to get that life. It's like, I'm not giant. It's not going to work for me.
Do we love or do we care at all that he's a sheriff?
Yeah. It's always a help.
That's fun.
It's always a help. But, I mean, you know, I think Elvis had a DA badge and stuff like that, too. I've talked to him a few times. He's also one of these guys who's great. And he's funny and he's everything, but for a basketball player, like not for a comedian or personality. But that guy, between like Princess Cruises and the car insurance, I mean, he's made so much money off endorsements.
Probably as much as he made as a player. Not yet, but through the course of his life, he'll have made more by the when all said and done.
Oh, yeah.
As an endorser.
Oh, but do you guys feel this way? Like remember back in the day, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but like a commercial actor would get hot. You'd see him in like 3 or 4 different commercials.
Absolutely.
And you'd go like, well, in this one commercial, he's a single dad, and then he's married with the kids on this other, for the Eggos commercial. Like, why are we using this guy? Anyone could do this job. Like, Shaq, oh, he's into Papa John. No, but he's also into the cruise ships and the General's Insurance. Like, are we believing it? Why are we believing this?
Yeah, it's almost counterintuitive. He's spreading himself a little too thin.
Yes, pardon the pun.
My, my wife does this. She's a commercial actress, and you'll see her occasionally back to back, and it really is weird because she's not a celebrity, right? So she's, like, driving the Honda in one commercial, and then in, like, some TD Ameritrade commercial, she's talking about her golf game. Like, oh, it was on the 18th.
I love all the, all those stupid financial commercials where the person calls in their financial planner, T. Rowe, whatever, and then that guy picks up the phone. It's like, yeah, Jim, I was just thinking about you. And I go, yeah. Hey, listen, I'd like to retire at 31 and a half. Well, let me see. I'm going to make that happen. And then there's a picture of them like drinking coffee, and he's pointing at something, and now I'm spelunking. Mm-hmm. And what's that ever happen? I can't.
It's a very small slice.
Not personally.
No.
Because I feel like I call my guy and I'm like, Tony, I'd like to retire. He'd be like, who's this? This is Adam.
Oh. Adam who?
You want a what? No, no. You got to work until 4 days after you're dead. We got a whole bunch of debt here.
It's impossible to have enough money.
It's insane. Yeah. Oh, hang up right now and let's pretend this never happened. Well, I wanted to go paraglide. Not interested in your dreams.
But I'm charging a commission on this phone call.
An idea for a business. Yeah, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I make money off you, but you retire.
Right. Like, yeah, how's that going to work? Yeah, let's see if I can help that. Yeah, no, I'm not going to expedite that transaction at all. You work, you give me money. Yeah. That's how this works.
That makes way more sense. Mm-hmm. Well, the Fresno City Council will weigh in on an ordinance that will make it illegal not to panhandle, but to hand people cash or anything else through your car window. Well, you're at an intersection.
Oh, we're going to blame the Johns?
Yeah, basically, the do-gooders.
I don't like that.
So Councilman Steve Brandow is behind the ordinance that would ban not only the driver but also the passenger from passing anything through the car window within 200 yards of an intersection. He says the main reason is for safety and that they've seen a record number of pedestrian accidents this year, and this law would help stop that. But other council members say it goes against the principles of the city, saying that it's making an act of kindness a criminal act. But in Medford, Oregon, they have
Wait a minute.
Law.
What about the fireman with the boot?
Oh.
When the firemen are trying to raise money, they get that boot.
That they sure do.
And that dude stands right out in the middle of the highway.
Illegal criminal.
We're going to send him packing?
Yes, absolutely, because that's the law. They said in Medford, Oregon, they have a similar law in place. And they said cops aren't waiting around to ticket people for this, but it has helped the panhandling stop.
We got to get to Bitcoin or some debit retinal scan or something. That's going to dry up this whole business, right?
Money.
I mean, you're not going to be able to give anyone anything, right?
Yeah, you could PayPal them.
Yeah, I, God, where was I? I think I was in Bakersfield doing a show, and I got there a half hour early and was at the gas station filling up. There was a minivan. It was like six kids and mama in it. Everyone was like white trash, and some homeless chick came around the window, and she's like, hey, can you spare a few dollars? And the woman who's driving the van said, I don't have any cash. She said, but if you want some chicken, and she offered up a bucket of chicken.
Oh. Yeah. And did she take it?
No. And I said, what kind of homeless person are you? I mean, now you're a junkie. Because if you're really homeless, that's good chicken.
Mm-hmm. Being offered a bucket of chicken?
I was filling up my Jag, and I was like, hey, could I get a breast?
Grab a drumstick.
Yeah. So, all right. So people are running out in the street. So everyone's getting run over now because there's so many homeless people, and homeless people are not great pedestrians because they're staggering like out into the street. Yeah. Now they're walking out in the street, and LA's been sort of doing a version of this for a long time, like selling oranges and all that, just kind of on the freeway off ramp, walking in between cars.
And that's what's funny about this. This is in Fresno, which is, I mean, by, you know, comparatively to LA, a small town. Mm-hmm. So you think you're not into LA cracking down in this way?
We got to do something with the homeless. Obviously, there's more and more of this going on. Somebody's got to take a syringe in the neck. Like, there has to be a breaking point where, like, someone that's popular. I mean, someone that's beloved.
I'll ask my publicist.
Let's see. What's the Noxema chick's name?
Rebecca Gayhart.
Let's get Rebecca. So what I'm saying is, like, somebody who's important is going to have to be walking
beloved
with their kid.
Yeah. With some juice.
Right?
Yeah.
And that kid's going to need to be stabbed with a syringe. And then we're going to go, okay, no more.
Enough.
It'll be a slow news cycle. It'll turn the whole thing on its...
It's worked with guns.
Yeah, it'll work. Yeah.
This is the next logical
well,
step.
Well, look, not Australia. New Zealand.
New Zealand. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, New Zealand, yeah.
Quick
so maybe this will be our New Zealand.
Yep, Rebecca Gayheart has young kids.
She does?
Yeah, you're in luck.
All right. One's got to take one for the team. Oh. We need one big kind of noteworthy kind of kid syringe stab, and so enough is enough. It needs one of those moments.
Maybe it'd be even better if it was a famous kid.
Oh,
I don't
okay
have those anymore. Like
yeah
the Macaulays and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
actually,
you have juggy auditions?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we'll play a minute and a half of it. It is very, very visual. So
okay. Yeah, it is.
Explain what's happening.
When I was 18, well, 17, actually, I joined the Marine Corps.
Can you drop and give us 20?
Please don't make me.
You don't have to. Give
thank
us
you
five.
Three, four, five.
For my 18th birthday, my dad bought me a Glock.
Do you ever fire the gun?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually having a good shot.
I don't like this. One of us is going to get shot by one of them.
I know.
How about a little dancing?
A little dancing would be fantastic.
Forgot.
Yeah.
Harvesting.
Yeah.
Can I get you something real quick? I want you to look at some ink blots and you tell me what you see. Okay, what do you see here?
That reminds me of a vagina.
How about this one?
Hooters.
Yeah! Yeah! Take that fart tank!
You also do a number of accents I see here. Will you give us a little sampling of the accents?
Which one do you want?
Try the Irish one, if you want.
O'Malley. It's just,
yeah, hold on.
Redeems herself.
All right. We got O'Malley.
Jumping next to the pogo stick.
O'Malley. I forgot. All right. What? Huh?
Well,
Julius, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was, you know, I actually prefer giving out my car window for efficiency's sake. You
yeah
know,
right.
Like, don't ban that because it's like it works for me. I got change in my car. There's a mm-hmm person there.
Yeah.
I have this moment that's, I'm at a red light. I'm not using that moment. Don't take that away.
That's why I travel with chicken.
Yeah.
Always a fresh bucket.
Always a fresh bucket of chicken. Oh. All right. Let me tell you about Zoom.us. Video conferencing has changed business. 2018 Zoom was the clear winner. Flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, or your mobile device. Striking HD video. 49 people live on one screen. It is incredible. The technology with Zoom.us is incredible. Share anything from any device, Word files, spreadsheets, videos, from YouTube, photos, to from your phone. Even set up a green screen to create a backdrop for your client's logo or some exotic location. You visit Zoom.us. Set up a free account today. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Set up your free account today at zoom.us. All right, Gina, sorry. What do we got?
Well, if you have the strength to binge more than 40 hours of superhero movies, there's a side gig out there for you. CableTV.com will pay someone a grand to watch all 20 previously released movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe back-to-back before the highly anticipated Avengers Endgame hits theaters on April 26th. The ideal candidate is a Marvel super fan who's also super active on social media. They're going to live tweet their marathon, and once they're done, the site will ask for your takeaway from the movies and to power rank them. You have to be 18, you have to be a U.S. citizen, and I have a list of all the movies, and there are a lot of them.
What do they pay?
A grand.
$1,000.
Sounds like I already did it this weekend.
Does that be 40 hours in a row?
They do want you to binge it and live tweet it, so probably close together.
Okay.
Do you know, you people are super...
I've seen just about all of them.
I don't know, but listen, I had lunch with Chris Morgan last weekend, Fast and Furious, and got into Hobbs versus Shaw discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, look out, world. I'm
excited.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It does seem fun.
It is going to be fun.
Featuring two prominent bald men.
Yeah.
Can say them.
That's right. And they both sort of work in a different way. Like the Rocks go full ball. Statham goes with
clipper.
The
tight crop. Yeah.
Tight crop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something called the Bechdel test, which is that, you know, on screen, do two women ever talk about anything other than a guy? And sort of I have this thing. It's like the bald skull test is you never see two bald guys talk about anything other than someone with hair, a drug deal, or destroying the earth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Evil geniuses.
Petting a hairless cat. Mm.
That's right.
Oh, man. I watched like a 3-minute, hasn't been released yet, trailer of it. It became too messin'.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
All right. Well, maybe
versus Shaw.
You'll be that guy.
Yeah.
Well, this is incredibly visual, but it's too good not to play for you people. So we'll hopefully put it up on social. Sometimes you just got to dance. A pursuit in California's San Fernando Valley came to an end on Tuesday night with the driver busting out a couple of moves before he was arrested by CPH officers. And I'm going to show you a little. There he goes. He started to do a little break dancing. CHP officers were able to successfully perform a pit maneuver on him, causing him to spin out on Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Pacoima.
This person's on drugs.
He just likes to dance. When officers had their guns drawn, he began to slowly walk away from the vehicle, his hands up, and then he just broke out into dance. They patiently let him finish before taking him into custody. The name has not been released, and charges are pending.
You know, Pacoima, I don't know if they have that, you know, cities like have their names or like, they'll go like Encino, welcome home or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Pacoima should just be yuck. Pacoima.
Pacoima, why?
Blah. It's like,
Pacoima, aw.
It's so weird and ugly. And I don't think people understand around the country. Like when you drive through, these towns have been decimated, like parts of Chicago or Illinois, and then like parts of Detroit, there's a weird sort of charm about them, even though everything's falling apart and everything's coming undone. There's something about the architecture. It's the weather. Maybe it's something. This is that with none of the charm. It's just stucco boxes and burnt soil, like scorched earth and graffiti, like on the ground. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Pacoima. Yuck. Jesus, that place is a dump. And
live show in Pacoima next weekend.
Yeah, like there's a comedy
at the Sad Bone.
You can't do comedy. You can't do comedy Pacoima. There's nothing there. And I hope this thing didn't go on too long.
Well, no, it looked like it went on, you know, about 30 seconds, and they let him finish.
Surprising, given that if the cop's telling you to put your hands up or whatever on the ground, and you're wildly moving your hands around, yeah, you're taking your life in your own hands at that point.
There's a fairly rich history of cops shooting people because they thought blah, blah, blah.
Because you're reaching for something.
And getting your hands up, well, when people have a gun out and they're pointing at you, jumping up and down.
Not great.
Yeah, it's not what you're looking. It's like a, I don't know, like a moil with hay fever or something. You don't want sneezing to be a big part of that job. And when many guys have guns on you, dancing around seems pretty low on the list.
Pacoima's so desperate to be known for anything that like anytime anything happens, they're like, maybe this is it. Like maybe dancing guy will put us on the map. So it's like, don't shoot him. Let him finish. Let's see if this is it.
Ugh, Pacoima. Yuck.
Chamber of Commerce.
What else we got? I don't think they have a Chamber of Commerce. They can't.
There's no commerce.
I tried to look, Max Matt, and we tried to figure out like who was in charge of Pacoima or Sunland or Sun Valley, and it's like they don't really have anybody. It's not Garcetti. It's like it's not Los Angeles.
What is Pacoima best known for? Like what is their, to Julius's point, what's their claimed fame?
Richie Valens is from there.
Aha!
There it is.
There you go.
Is that where those auto scrapyards are, or is that more Sunland?
Because it's kind of Sunland. It's all the same.
Yeah,
it's all the same area. Yeah, Richie Valens, and then maybe there's a couple of athletes or something. But it is dicey, scary, and weird.
Is Sunland next to Pacoima?
I think so.
Because
yeah,
back in after KLSX exploded and everyone was kind of looking for work, I took a job producing a radio show that I had to drive to Sunland to do, and it was in the basement of a Fashion Bug in a strip mall.
Yeah,
so that's where some of those stations are located.
Yeah, here's a little note, little rule of thumb: if you see too many Cesar Chavez murals on the sides of a building, keep moving.
Mm.
That's my plan.
Okay.
That's my plan. Don't put down stakes.
Well, the Queen movie Bohemian Rhapsody finally opened in China last week, more than 4 months
Although
after.
They do have like a lot of Mexican markets in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. I kind of want to go in.
Yeah?
You know, like I've never bought cactus at a market.
Freshly sliced
cactus.
They're
about like a pig's feet like in a big jar, you know? Yeah. Like they got stuff there that we don't think about.
That's true.
They got parts that we don't think about. They've got stuff.
Tongues.
That's like the John's near my house is now my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
All the world delicacies. One place.
That John's is my grandpa Laszlo Gorok's old, that's his Lucky's.
Love that John's. It's very Eastern Bloc.
Oh,
that's kind of where the neighborhood's gone. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, the market is the market. It will just start caring what people ask for. And
it's
if enough
Baltic.
Of those people get around them, that's what you'll get.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bohemian Rhapsody finally premiered in China, and that's 4 months after we had it, and it's 2 minutes shorter than the version that we all saw.
No gay shit?
You got it. Censors cut scenes of, quote, abnormal sexual behavior, meaning the ones where Freddie Mercury kisses another guy, along with every mention of the word gay.
Sodomy. Mm.
Despite the cut, CNN reports that some members of China's LGBT community call it a victory that the film's being shown at all.
They added that scene where he got AIDS because he was attacked by a hummingbird that we didn't get to see here in the States.
If they don't show Freddie Mercury kissing a man, how do they know he's gay?
Oh, it's look it up, by the way. It's happened. It could happen. It definitely mathematically possible.
Sure.
They just think it's the Brian May story.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. They also edited out a scene where the band dresses as women, cutting a video for the song I Want to Break Free. Homosexuality, by the way, not illegal in China, but frowned upon. Yeah, not encouraged.
Pardon me for being racially insensitive, but I feel like Chinese on Chinese gay crime is less offensive.
Yeah. Okay. Why is that?
It's kind of a lateral move.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
No.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. There's a place called Armenia. Understand?
Okay.
It's a big commitment over there.
Okay. I see what you're
saying. The gay lifestyle. It's just a little less of a commitment.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Not to get acid thrown on you, for example.
No, I'm just talking about the physicality of it is what I'm saying.
Oh.
I mean, I'm...
Yeah. Yeah.
I am saying...
Okay.
Look, there's a physical part of it. Like, first off, hair. Body hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The culture with less body hair is a little easier transition.
Shit gets everywhere.
Sure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Also, not renowned for the width of their dorks.
These are all barriers to entry they have conquered.
I am saying
barriers to entry.
If you're gay in China, I think you're a little less gay than you are in a Middle Eastern country. That's all.
You can sample the gay lifestyle much easier.
Max Zapata, when I do make my move in this building, you'll be the first to know.
Oh wow,
Matt,
Caleb, don't laugh. You're next.
Yeah, Fondelier, he's going to be. Pardon the pun, toward the rear with the gear. You know what I'm saying?
Quite a barrier entry, and mindset.
I am weirdly flattered.
A little less of a commitment. That's all I'm saying.
Is Ernest T. Bigot just asking, or is this
I'm just asking. That's all.
If you're a Chinese gay.
The women have B cups over there. You know, it's just not as big a swing.
A chasm.
It's a big swing. Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean?
Fair enough, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're just asking.
What's I'm trying to think of that... what is that fine actor with the beautiful blue eyes who's always dressing up? Jared Leto.
Okay.
He said to me, hey, we want to go gay? You go Goldberg the wrestler or Jared Leto?
Give him the choice.
Wait,
those are my only choices?
Those are your only choices.
Well, then I got to go Leto.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's got to go Leto.
Why? It seems like a little less of a... my ears won't pop when I'm going down on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it won't be an altitude drop. That's what I'm saying.
Understood.
Okay. Just makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Ernest T. Bigot, I'm just asking.
He's just asking.
I'm just asking. All right, sorry. That's my character, Ernest T.
Love
Bigot.
It.
That's his catchphrase.
And his catchphrase is, I'm just asking.
I mean, I just go the Goldberg way, because if I'm going to do anything, it's like, I want to experience the fullness of it.
That's good. And he's bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jewish.
Gay big or gay home.
You want to half-ass it.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
If someone likes writing, they probably suck at it.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, you put it in your pocket. It'll be the best thing you do all week. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. Not Taco Bell material, my special. It's out for stand-up special. You can get it at Chassis, two S's and a Y, or iTunes, or Amazon, or wherever you like. Enjoy that. Thank you. I'm doing live shows everywhere. San Francisco and Sacramento and Brea and Denver and everywhere else. Julius Sharp has got a book out, So You're Going Bald. Pre-order it today on Amazon. It'll be out and delivered to your place on April 2nd. And bookmark us and click through and shoot him a tweet at Julius Sharp as well. And thanks for coming in, Julius.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Thanks for a great week, you guys. Until next time, Sam Crawford, Julius Sharp, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan saying mahalo.
I was just on friggin' fire.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Come out tomorrow night to Thorn Brewing in Barrio Logan, San Diego for the Booze and Book Club. I'll be out there. And you can go to boozeandbookclub.com. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Corolla Classics, hosted by producer Chris and superfan Giovanni. Get tickets to see the Ace Man. Either Adam Carolla is unprepared or one of the screenings coming up for Not Taco Bell material. Find it all at adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.